Turn back to where Isaiah left you a while ago, if you were reading with him, John chapter 3. You've probably noticed a pattern by now. Certainly we are talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Isaiah read through verse 21. Verse 17 tells us, and this is in red letters in my Bible, this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why didn't God send his Son into the world to condemn the world? Because the world was condemned already. That's why. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. That's how all men are without Jesus Christ. Without being illuminated by the Holy Spirit and saved, without being given this saving faith. We loved darkness more than light, didn't we? We did. We loved sin more than righteousness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. When we come to the Lord, our deeds are reproved. One of the first things he shows us is the predicament we're in, doesn't he? He does. That without him, we love darkness. But because of him and the love that he has for us, we are drawn unto the light. Out of love, he draws us unto the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. And what does that mean? That his deeds may be made manifest. It means that what he does will be shown or shown forth, manifest, that there's a certain strength or power or origination of his deeds. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? But he that doeth truth, let me go back. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's think about that for just a minute. He that cometh to the light. Who comes to the light? Well, we had our picture of the tabernacle up here earlier, and we saw that the only holy place was the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle. And the only entrance was through the gate, the door. We declared this morning that Jesus Christ himself identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Who comes to the light? Jesus Christ also said that no one cometh to the Father but by me. There's the door, there's the way, the truth, and the life. And then he also said, no one cometh to me except my Father, which sent me, God the Father, draws him. So who comes to the light? Those that are drawn by the Father. Those who are saved, quickened. Isaiah read the account of Nicodemus and the Lord's conversation. He said, you must be born again. There's no other way around it. There's no other way into the presence of God but through Jesus Christ. You must be born of the water. That's when your mother's water broke and you were born of the water. It's not pointing to baptism there. And you must be born of the Spirit. That is salvation by grace. I just wanted you to notice this verse and how it says, he that doeth truth comes to the light. What was the second thing that Jesus Christ identified himself as? The truth. He that cometh to the truth. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. You see that connection? It's him. It's always him. That his deeds may be manifest. All right? There are a lot of people doing a lot of deeds these days. A lot of people doing a lot of works and deeds in the name of the Lord. But he that doeth truth that cometh to the light, he does so that his deeds may be manifest, that they, his deeds, are wrought in God. Not that his deeds are of himself, no, but that his deeds are wrought of God. The salvation that you have this morning is of God. It's of his power, his authority to justify you. All authority has been given him in heaven and earth. He has the authority to acquit you. To justify you. That means make you legally like you never sinned. Your salvation is wrought of God, not of yourself. It's just a little gold nugget there. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. That's Jesus Christ in both cases. The truth and the light. Cometh to the light that his deeds may be manifest or shown forth. You'll be able to tell them by their fruit. Remember that? That his deeds are wrought in God. You see, salvation is of the Lord. I can make all the decisions I want to in my flesh. But my deeds, without being born again, the Lord had just got done teaching Nicodemus this very thing. Without being born of the Spirit, those deeds would be wrought in Brother Bud, and they wouldn't be good. No, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Over to chapter 8, John chapter 8 and verse 10. John chapter 8 and verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, and we know this account, he had just finished telling those that stood around her it was caught in adultery. In verse 7, he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Whichever one of you don't have any sin in you, you start this killing. You start it. You throw the first stone. And they all walked off. He revealed to them something. He revealed to them that they were sinners, just like her. When Jesus, verse 10, had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? They had all left. There was no man there to condemn her. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am, and that is one of his magnificent names. He is the great I am. He said unto her, I am the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What life is this he's talking about? It's the spiritual life that he instructed Nicodemus on when he said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It's a spiritual life, you see. He is the light of spiritual life. Just as in the holy place, from the candlestick, the candelabra, with seven flames coming from it, he lit up that room. And there is a tabernacle, there is a temple in heaven, not made with hands, where this very thing is taking place. This very thing. The tabernacle is a type and shadow of a tabernacle in heaven, not made with hands, but built by God. And we just read this morning that in that place, that holy place in the presence of God, there will be no sun or moon, because he is the light of the new world too. Just as he is the spiritual light in this world. And there is no other way to see in this darkness. There is no other way to God but through him, the light. He is the light of the world and the light of life. You know, over and over in this walk, this daily walk that we walk in, we tend to begin to lean on our own understanding when we go through trials, don't we? When things don't, in our mind, go right. When they don't go according to our plan, we start leaning under our own understanding rather than totally trusting and waiting on the Lord. We do that, don't we? Where do we end up when we do that? Most of the time, I end up groping in the dark as far as knowing what to do. But if I would turn to him every time, if my faith was strong enough to rely on him in every case, to put him first in every worry, every concern, I would not walk in the darkness. But I would have the light of life. This light, again, it's an illumination of truth. You see, it's a revelation. The light reveals. That's what it does. In the tabernacle, the light from the candlestick revealed the altar of incense. It revealed the veil. It revealed the table of showbread. That's what Jesus Christ does as the light in our life, is he reveals himself. And as we look to him and count on him, put him first. Go to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But I know that you do. I know that you know best for me, Lord. I know that all things work for good for me because I love you. Those who love the Lord, they'll be called according to his purpose. As we do that, the answer to our problem, and again, this is a very general statement, but it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the worry is, even the sickness. Because the answer is always Jesus. It always is. Because he's not subject to time. He knows tomorrow. I don't know tomorrow. I may be worried to death about something that may happen between now and tomorrow, but he's not. He knows already, you see. And he's already promised that all of these things, he didn't say just the things that seem good to you. No, all things work together in Romans 8 for good. For good. That's hard to imagine when I'm sick or hurting or a loved one of mine is sick or hurting. But it's still true. The only reason it's hard to imagine is because I'm leaning under my own understanding, you see, and I don't understand it like he does. But God understands it all the way through. No matter what our situation is, God in our life is on top of things. And we can trust Him. Oh, that we would just go to Him first. This light of life, it is a revelation of Himself that He gives to us through this Word. God could save people any way He wanted to. And praise God, He does. He saves them just like He wants to. And it's always through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's always shown to the sinner by the Holy Spirit of God. The light, you see. It's what turns this book from black and red letters on white pages to living spiritual food. It's the Spirit of God, you see. He makes us alive, and His Word is alive to us. It's amazing when we depend on Him, how He lights up our understanding, how He lights up our ability to lay all these things down. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the daily things that worry us. That, as I said before, we walk through this life, we're like the disciples walking through the streets of dirt, and the Lord washed their feet. Why? Because their feet were dirty. Sin clung to them. That was the picture there. That's the picture here. Darkness clings to us. We need Jesus Christ, the light. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. I was just talking about walking our daily walk and sin clinging to us. Having renounced these things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, revealing of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those that are lost are where? They're in darkness, aren't they? They're in darkness. If the gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost or in darkness, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for His sake, for Jesus' sake. And then verse 6, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in Genesis when He created the earth. He also planned for the light of the world to come to the world, born of a virgin, without sin, and become and be the light of the world, Jesus Christ, commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. This same God, all power in heaven and earth, He created all things. This same God hath shined in our hearts. You see how He does that? When He saves us, He gives us the Holy Spirit who enlightens us, gives us light in darkness. Now it's not dark to us. It's lit up. It's manifested. We can see it now. We can see Him. He has shined in our hearts for a reason. That reason in verse 6 says to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see how he receives, because he deserves all the honor, all the praise, all the glory for salvation. You see how I have nothing to claim except him and what he's done for me? God did this. God shined in your heart for the reason of giving the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. In other words, he's revealed unto you, unto me, that salvation is of the Lord and of him only. You see that? It's exactly what he's saying here. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Not my glory, not your glory. No, we're sinners without him, but his glory. Jonah knew what he was talking about when he said salvation is of the Lord, didn't he? Yeah, he learned that lesson. He learned it the hard way, but he learned it. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth. Yes, he's God. Was, is, shall ever be God. He told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember that? He is one with the Father. The glory of God was seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The love of God was seen in the act of Jesus Christ. His whole life. His actions on the cross. He let them crucify him, didn't he? The glory of God in Jesus Christ. He gives the light. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? It's this light that shines in our heart. It's salvation. It's knowledge of him, saving knowledge of him. It's a treasure, and we have it now in this earthen vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels for a reason. He's going to tell us the reason. That the excellency of the power. How great is the power? It's excellent. It's perfect. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise God. The revelation of God is from God. He is the power behind our salvation. Ephesians chapter 5. So we're in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. We're saved now. We are light in the Lord now. So walk as children of light. Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Who does that sound like? Who is goodness and righteousness and truth? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him, you see. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, brought out by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. For he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, that sounds like salvation, doesn't it? Arise, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We know what his will for us is, don't we? Certainly we do. We have the Bible. We know that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is his will for us. Oh, that we would be in Him. What a blessing to know the Lord this morning and to realize all power in heaven and earth belongs to Him. Can't we depend on Him? Can't we stop worrying about things and go to Him and lay all these things at His feet? He said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will. We want Him what His will is for us. I will give you rest." That's what He said. All that we would trust in Him.